Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. This week, we'll be looking ahead to the Pansy and Viola Festival, where homeowners can view literally hundreds of different pansies and violas in full bloom. I'll be speaking to Michael Smith from the Meadowcroft Garden Centre in Essex, where the festival is taking place. My thanks to Thompson & Morgan, sponsors of this podcast, and my producer, Charlie Jones. The weather's always critical to us gardeners, and at this time of the year, I always watch the blackthorn, the slow bushes. And when those flowers start to open, then you may be sure we're going to have a spell of what I call the blackthorn winter. Never be in a rush in March to get too much done, because it can really be quite cold. I understand that on Sunday, it's Global Recycling Day. I don't think good gardeners need much encouraging to recycle. I mean, in our house, we actually wash and reuse polythene bags. And when my daughter explained that to her German class, they all fell about laughing that anybody could be so stupid. But there we are. I was brought up in an old school where we watched every penny. And polythene bags get carefully washed when we're washing up, dried and used again. On Tuesday this week, I went to Christchurch in Chelmsford to listen to junior school children, aged 6 to 7, put on a musical called There's a Sunflower in My Supper. They were all dressed up as different kinds of cattle and animals and things. And the idea was that you know, the cows keep eating grass, grass, grass. And then on one particular day, they had a sunflower for their supper. I liked the introduction. On the programme it said, an utterly adorable musical. How about that? This week we hear from Flora Select. You may recall just a week or two ago, we had them as an interview here telling us how the trials are carried out throughout Europe for all of the international seed companies. Well, Flora Select have just announced their gold medal winners for 2019. So those of you in the trade may be interested to know now. And the rest of gardeners, I'm afraid, will just have to wait a season or so. But the six gold medal winners were a begonia semperflorans called Fiona Red, and that was bred by Taki in Japan. A very nice semi-double fibrous-rooted begonia. Looks like that's going to fill the flower beds in 2019. And then, much easier to grow perhaps, a new pot marigold, Calendula officinalis calyxis orange. That's coming from Van Hermet in the Netherlands. And it's a compact-growing kind. The Dutch like these compact things because they fit on the Danish trolleys and reduce the transport. But this particular variety is bright orange and the petals are sort of rolled, like the old variety Radio. There's a new Dahlia Delia Amber, and that's coming from Selector One in Germany. Has semi-double, really dark red flowers, and contrasted with black leaves. I can see that's going to be popular, both for the front of flower beds and for containers. There's a new star petunia from Benari in Germany. It's called Success Rose Star. And the significant thing about that is that it's a grandiflora, a large flowered petunia, but with this really bright pink and white star flowers. So that'll be pretty showy. I'll be interested to see how that grows. Must have stood the weather all right last summer. But generally speaking, those large-flowered petunias are better with just a little bit of protection overhead. And then we've got Osteospermum, Eclonis Enrico, from Delina Genetics in Denmark. And that's a pretty exciting thing. It has masses of flowers, which last much longer through the season. And it's suited to cooler climates in Northern Europe, they say, particularly, because the flowers don't close in the dark or in cool conditions. And then finally, a zinnia. Zinnia elegans, queenie lime orange, and it is sort of pinky orange and then lime in the centre. I'll be looking forward to growing that. I like zinnias. This one grows to about 30 inches, and so it'll be very good for cutting. This week too, we had the Garden Press event in London, where all the new products, plants, machinery and everything is shown to members of the press. And I hope to have a full report on that in the paper next week. And we'll bring up a few products here as the season is appropriate for them. Don't forget, on Friday, the 16th of March, it's the Garden Relief Day. RE-LEAF. Capital LEAF. That's the day that the trade sort of kicks off gardening, and they do all kinds of crazy things to raise money for the Green Fingers charity. That's the children hospice charity. I mean, the most popular is a plant-a-thon, where some strange individuals spend 24 hours potting up plants. I know Andy Bunker does it at Alton, and Bob Hewitt too, up at Klondike and Strikes in the northeast. They just work right through the night, potting up flowers and raising money for that very worthy charity, Green Fingers. And what about advice? Well, with wet and flooded soil, my advice is keep off it, especially heavy clay. The subsoil should be filled to what we call filled capacity. In other words, all the reserves of moisture are well replenished. And that's especially important for those of us on the East Coast. I like to see February Phil Dyke, although as it happens it was March, melting snow Phil Dyke this year. But you need to make sure the surface dries a bit before you tread on it. If you have got some jobs to do, well then work on a wide board so that the compression is reduced. You will need to get on. If you've got any bare root fruit trees, bushes or shrubs, they'll need to be planted. Although it has to be said that the commercial growers increasingly are planting quite late, April and even into May. They plant from cold store, put these bare root trees in, and in the warm soil they absolutely rocket into growth. You can hear a bit more about that if you go back to hear Will Sibley's interview on this podcast just a few weeks ago.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's interviewee, really I've known the family for years. Michael Smith is, I think, the fourth generation of his family growing bedding plants, and it was a Smith dynasty. There were a whole group of them growing bedding in that South End area, supplying London and well, parts of East Anglia and the South East. Michael, have I got that information about right?
I think so, yeah. There's definitely four generations growing bedding plants. The horticultural industry sort of goes back probably up to at least five generations in this area, based around the railway delivering into London, but I think there's probably more vegetables and stuff that before. Definitely four generations growing bedding plants under protected.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the railways taking stuff in, of course. Yeah, it would have been a means of transporting, wouldn't it?
A quick means of transport at that time, at the turn of, I'd say the turn of the century, but the turn of the previous century, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because I saw your granddad, Will, actually I used to buy plants from both Will and his brother, Morris.
Yeah.
Well, back in the 60s, I suppose. I mean, he was a great one for time and motion, with pricking out seedlings very quickly into boxes. And then your dad, Roland, he came along with mechanical seed sowing and transplanting, all that sort of mechanising and roboticising.
Roboticising, is that the term?
I shouldn't think so for a minute, but it's the best word I could come up with. but then I see you as the biofuel heating man.
Well, we were one of the first in the area, or in the country. I think when we saw oil prices going up and up and up sort of 10 years ago, glasshouses are not the easiest things to heat. They're not so efficient, so it can be quite expensive in the winter. It was something that we were looking to for a long time, and we made the jump for probably about six or seven years ago now, and went into burning wood chip to heat our greenhouses.
But you don't just burn wood chips, you're actually growing your own wood, aren't you?
We are, yes. It's a three-year cycle of willow, and we can harvest that every 3 years. And we've got about enough to do half the heating. So what we do, we buy in half the chip and mix it with our own willow as well, and then use that to heat the boilers, to go into the boilers to burn.
I seem to remember from my student days that every 5 degree lift, it doubled the cost of heating. Does that figure still work, or are houses more efficient?
I don't think my houses are so efficient. The problem is with bedding plants, we don't have perhaps the most high-tech glass. It always looks high-tech to visitors when they come and have a look round, but we can grow crops in quite old glass, and they might leak a little bit. So it's definitely very expensive to heat glasshouses. And I think it was for our peace of mind for the future. If my dad did the mechanisation and my granddad did the making sure people worked as fast as possible, it was about the next generation to pass on something that, you know, that wasn't a burden around their neck, really, I suppose. It was one less thing to worry about.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think it's an amazing thing that you do. I mean, in that cold spell, early March, I went out to the shops and it was -7 centigrade one evening. Blimey, that's going to take some fuel, isn't it?
It would have cost a lot of money. And it was a bit frustrating because we couldn't sell enough plants. But to actually not to be worried about that burning of the oil, it was a great relief. Yeah, I've forgotten about those concerns. I mean, we would grow poinsettias, and as soon as we filled the boilers up once with oil, you looked at just to heat the greenhouses for growing the poinsettias, that was the cost of what I was going to get back from the poinsettias, and you kind of question what you're doing this for.
Just one filling?
At that time, when we were at that stage on the nursery, yes.
It could all go in heating.
It could all go in that heating, yeah.
Frightening. Well, now, a much easier crop, I hope, in terms of heat requirement, are pansies and violas. That's what we need to talk to you about today, isn't it?
Yeah, I have become a little bit famous for the violas and pansies, absolutely.
So what started you off at Muddercroft Garden Centre on the Pansy and Viola Festival?
It's become a bit of a monster. 15 years ago, we started this as a sort of a way to promote our relatively small garden centre at the time, and we contacted all the seed companies that we deal with through the wholesale side of the business and said we want to just do an event to sort of welcome in the spring, because it's a great time of year to have a full range of colour in March with the violas and pansies. And so we contacted the the seed companies, we thought we'd get a couple, we'd get hundreds of varieties, and that's what we wanted to promote. And we were sort of inundated with pretty much all the commercial varieties available to our industry sent to me to grow, which was around about 700 varieties at the time. And so my desk was just full of boxes of these seeds, and I really didn't quite know what to do.
Well, I think not, because they've all got to be labelled and they've all got to be followed through, haven't they? 700 different kinds.
Yeah, so I sort of felt really responsible at that point that I needed to do something proper with this and not just do a festival for the public. I kind of felt in a really unique position where I could grow all these varieties together and people could come and have a look and compare these varieties. So these comparison trials is something that the industry does. We go to trials all around Europe and comparing plants.
Yeah, but that's usually from one commercial house, isn't it?
Very rarely you see the thing items against the competitor, or if you do, they're not labelled. So this is a great opportunity to put everything together and lay them all out, and for the industry to see really what they were like grown in our conditions, because obviously I'm sure a variety that might not do so well with us might perform fantastically somewhere else, but with us you could see what would happen in Essex anyway. So we decided we had to sow everything on the same day, all 700 varieties.
Goodness.
Put them in the same greenhouses, and when they were ready, transplant them as quickly as possible and group them together and lay them out on the floor. So, yeah, it did become a great challenge for us. But
you've carried on doing it all these years.
It was a fun challenge. It brought in lots of interest from the industry. In the first year we did it, we told everybody what had happened and we invited the industry to come and have a look. And we had visitors from Japan and America and all over Europe just to come and see how their varieties are comparing with everybody else's, because they don't get a chance to see that. They might see it in their own place in California or somewhere in Japan, but they might not see it in the UK, and not such a wide range of varieties as well. Because it's an international business, and I don't think perhaps the public see what goes on behind those packs of plants they might buy from the garden centre.
But in a week or so, they will be able to go to Meadowcroft and see examples.
And buy them.
Oh, right. Well, now, if I'm coming to Meadowcroft and going to buy something, yep. You've been growing all these varieties and cultivars now for 15-odd years.
15 years. I think it's the 15th festival. 15th yeah. Festival, yeah.
Mark our card. Now, first of all, we have to decide between the small-flowered viola and the large-flowered pansy, or the larger flowering pansy.
And you're going to ask me to tell you which one to buy?
Well, if you were going into your greenhouse, where would you go?
I would always choose a smaller-flowered viola, or even a smaller-flowered pansy. They tend to have a little bit more energy and more thrifler, so you're going to get more display for your money. It's a very difficult story to tell, and I do appreciate people love that large flower pansy, so I'm happy for them to buy them. They're still great value plants, but I think they get a longer life with the violas.
I mean, the violas will have more flowers, and so if you have rough weather, they recover more quickly, don't they, with just by the sheer weight of numbers.
Absolutely. We planted outside Meadowcroft 2 weeks ago, and in that time they've certainly seen the elements.
You can say that again.
Yeah, so but I was not surprised, but also but still pleased when that snow melted over the weekend to see the colour still there and the plants sitting upright, and they're still going to perform. They're incredible things, really.
They can really take it, can't they?
They can take it, and they can take a bit of heat as well. So that's the great thing with violas. I think they can go right into the summer.
Michael, you're much too young to remember the 62-63 winter, but I can tell you we were growing then the Swiss giants, the ordinary open-seeded Swiss giants, and I think the first of the majestic giants coming in from Japan, the F1s.
Yes.
And they were under snow from Christmas well into March. You know, we just didn't see them under snow. Boy, did they flower when the snow melted. It seemed to do them the world of good.
Wow. No, it's incredible, isn't it? I suppose they're slightly protected under there, really.
Stops them drying out, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, they are definitely hardy species, and they do give great value for money.
Now, you have the public choice, too. They vote, don't they, on the best ones?
Well, this was something we came up with on that first festival, where they were obliged to sort of feed back to the industry. What the public thought of all these varieties. So we got the public to select their top three varieties, and then we add up those votes and get a top 10 list of each year of the favourite varieties.
Now, do those winners surprise you?
There are always surprises in there, and I think they surprise the industry as well. But I mean, there's a few that are always around the top 10, and you can guess, but the public always see stuff that we might not necessarily see, and it might not even be in the top 10, but further down there might be you might see quite a few votes for a particular yellow where the public has seen that that's the most vibrant of that colour, and they'll choose that, and we wouldn't have spotted that at all. The industry looks for different things, and then when the public are told to go and have a look at all these varieties, they're naturally going to look for the unique items because they think the special items. So we do see some surprises in there.
And then it's the unusual colours then, is it?
It is the unusual colours. And we use that to grow more of those varieties, and so we can sell to our customers the top 40 varieties we sell to our customers from the public votes.
And do people still like mixed? I mean, in my days of growing bedding, we liked to grow self-colours, but in practice, big volumes, not just with pansies and violas, but with a whole range of bedding, it would be the mixed kinds that went. Or are we now more colour conscious?
The mixed is still the largest batch within that series I'm growing. So the mixed batch of violas or pansies I'll still be growing a little bit more of that than the self colours, but there's no doubt the self colours are becoming more important. And beyond that, the industry are looking, and we are looking at sort of creating our own mixes as well, where they sort of blends to attract different tastes. So and at the festival this year, we've probably got about 50 different mixes.
Have you?
Where the industry of commercial mixes, where we're hoping to get the public to select the best of those as well.
And so it might be, what, a spring blue skies mix, a daffodil mix or
yes, something. And some very interesting, when you get breeding from all around the world, different countries and different parts of the world have different ideas, and who are we to say that they're wrong? But I've got some quite interesting mixes amongst them.
Michael, I look forward to seeing the trial for myself later on this week. And a public thank you for doing that work for us. It's essential that we have these independent trials.
It's a pleasure to do it. It's an exciting time for me each year.
With that collection of pansies and violas, they're not just at Meadowcroft. Four of the Hillview Garden Centres in the Midlands and Knights down in Surrey will also have a tremendous number of these cultivars, so if you're a bit nearer to those centres, you could pop in and see them. And for my tailpiece, a gardening gag, what exams do gardeners take? Hoe levels. Thanks again to our sponsor, Thompson and Morgan. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.